Blog Talk Radio.
To love
I'm
your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we have a special guest with us to help us think outside the box, Mr. Corey Driggs. You're probably asking yourself what kind of new approach Wild Bill could come up with on his soapbox of topics that he has shared in the past on this show. The answer is that he is not going to try. We have a special guest speaker tonight that is not afraid to speak his mind. You will enjoy his wit and the way he uses his humor to make his point. Like most of our guest speakers, he's involved in ministry, and so you are still going to get a viewpoint based on his personal walk with God as a focal point of his life. It should probably be against the law for Bill and Corey to be together at the same time. They're both sort of grown men going on 12. His name is Corey Driggs, and he's part of the ministry team at the Sanctuary of Nolensville here in Tennessee. We're going to go to Wild Bill to start the show and then come back to hear what Corey has for us tonight. And now, Wild Bill.
Well, hello everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. We want to thank you for being with us here on your place tonight. And thank you so much, Starla, for the getting our show kicked off. Speaking of my beautiful wife, Starla, this last weekend on the 30th, she turned 25 again. And sometimes I'm blown away that she chose me to be her partner to go through life with. And I feel very blessed with that. But I have something here just for Starla, and I hope you all enjoy it also. You have to forgive me, Starla. I couldn't resist. But anyway, just wanted to share that with everybody. But we have a real treat for you tonight. I want you to know that we talk on this show how here at your place, we don't ever claim to be the experts on the topics we talk about. And as I get from some of the people with their emails, they agree 1,000% that they definitely don't think I know what I'm talking about. No, I'm being facetious here. But we do have a tendency to have shows to where, I don't know if it's a misplaced respect or what it is, where people don't open up and share the things they disagree with us on. Now, I do get emails on things from time to time where they tell me they think that I've lost a few nuts and bolts in my head on some of the things I talk about with politics in this day and time we live in. But the one key of what I've always tried to do is get people to think outside the box. You know, to me, one of the worst things for a person's testimony is to say something that's a half-truth and say it is fact and not really know what you're saying. And I always attribute that we live in a soundbite mentality. We get soundbites of this and that. There's so much information coming at us in this day and time that sometimes we don't go and take the time to listen to the whole thing to really put it into a true perspective. And so I think sometimes I get labeled as being a protector of people when I'm not really standing up for the person, really. I'm trying, and not even for the office that they hold as far as in politics. What I'm trying to do is to get you to understand that it makes your testimony look bad to the people in a lost and dying world who do have enough sense and take enough time to know the whole story. And so when you come up with your little hairball thing with all the anger and hate that we seem to have a lot of people throwing into it, that makes you look worse than the person you're talking about. And I just don't think you people really grasp that. But tonight we have a real treat. Brother Corey Driggs, as Starla said, he goes to church with us at the Sanctuary in Nolensville, and he's involved with the ministry with the Pentecostals in Murfreesboro. And he is what I call a very special friend. Who else can you have as a Sunday school teacher get up in front of the class and sing, "I Can't Find My Hairbrush," and dedicate that just for me? Now, the people have seen pictures of me and know me in person, they can understand what that's all about, and they can sort of see the humor in it. But this is a man who also believes in thinking outside the box. He's a man of opinion. He's a man that's not afraid to speak his opinion, and I don't think he's going to be intimidated by the thousands of people that we have listened to this show today. Matter of fact, I don't think that there's much of anything that would intimidate him other than if his wife was to tell him he was in trouble. I think that might slow him down for about all of 3 seconds, and then he would just go on and do whatever it was he wanted to do. No, I'm just playing with you there, Brother Driggs. But anyway, he is a person. We talked before about things that he does, think outside the box. He's a man who I respect. His walk of what he walks is the same thing that he talks. His ministry is one that I think is so powerful for the fact that he's real. Every aspect of him, there's no make-believe to it. There's none of this certain type of jargon. There's not this certain way of speaking that some people have to try to put emphasis on their ministry. He speaks from his heart and from what he thinks and what he lives. And in this day and time, that's getting harder and harder to find. And so I just want to thank him for being here with us. When I talked to him about doing this show, he said, "You mean this is going to be kind of like an open mic where I can just sort of go where I feel to go with, you know, the things in the world, that how it's going today?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he paused like, "You know, are you crazy? You're going to turn me loose on an open mic on a Blog Talk radio show to sit there and share what I think about, you know, things that this day and time we live in and what's going on around the world?" And I didn't limit him to any topic at all. I wanted him to feel open to kind of share. I sort of have my little soapbox that I get on things, and I want people to be aware of and to, you know, as I say, to think outside the box. And if you listen to me and you enjoy listening to me, you're going to be blown away by Brother Corey Driggs. But, Starla, we're going to turn this back over to you, and I do want to say I love you very much. I thank you for helping us with this show, and I thank you most and for everything that's within me that you decided to choose me to be the person that you want to spend your life with.
Well, that was rather sweet. And I guess you know he lied about my age, but that's okay. I'll forgive him. Well, Brother Driggs, how are you tonight?
I am doing fabulous. And I am here to tell you that was quite some intro. Am I coming through okay?
Oh, great. Yes.
Awesome. I just wanted to do a mic check there. I have one more piece of taunting that I can use against Bill, and that is Wild Bill. I will address him Sunday at Sunday School with Wild Bill. So that is awesome. I am glad to have the ammunition.
Well, we are very pleased to have you tonight, very excited to hear what you have to share with us. And the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on your place at Blog Talk Radio. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Bill for entrusting me this time and having enough faith in me that he didn't have to worry about it. The pause with the open mic comment was more of a oh, Lord, what am I going to fill that time with type response. But no, we can get into anything you want to talk about. I've got a few things jotted down here that I might start off the time with you and discuss. But first, I'd like to go ahead and just open up with a little bit about myself, a little bit about my testimony. And Starla, am I allowed to give out my email address if people want to email questions or whatever?
Oh, certainly.
Or do you hand? Okay, does that go straight to you, or can I give out mine?
Well, I guess we could do either.
However you would prefer to handle it.
I've never been asked that question before, so I guess we're going to leave it up to you.
All right. If you care to email me, it's c.driggs. C.driggs at me.com. Feel free to ask questions or send topics or, of course, join the show. A little bit about myself. Married to my best friend, Deborah. We have five beautiful daughters and one son. Ages range from 3 years old to 21. So we're quite busy. Certified life coach and marriage coach, along with addiction counseling and working on a master's degree in psychology and Christian counseling. As Bill suggests or mentioned earlier, I am in the ministry. My passion is teaching. I can preach when I'm asked, but my passion and my heart is teaching the Word of God and everything that goes along with it. The testimony, God's brought me through a lot in my life. Married 16 years prior and went through a pretty hectic time in a divorce and walked away from God during that period. And God has a way of bringing you back around to where He wants you to be. And attempted suicide at one point. And God woke me up. And my passion today, birthed from that experience, is family ministry. Proving the enemy to be the liar he is when he attacks our families. And that is my passion. So, there's a little bit about myself. And the topics of today, man, you look at the news, you look at headlines, you look at everything, it's all out there. I'm not sure what everybody wants to talk about today, but I'm just going to bring up some topics that have sparked my interest this morning and throughout the day. The UN ratified the arms treaty, and they're talking about passing that in the Senate. I'm not sure how everybody feels about the United Nations controlling our sovereignty in our arms regulation within the United States or turning over that sovereignty to foreign powers. But that's scary times, if you ask me. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott is taking that to the court. He is wanting to fight that. My comment on that is go Texas. You know, I wish that Tennessee would join that fight. What do you think? What are your thoughts on gun control? Are we losing our mind as a nation? Are we out of control? What does it mean for us as a nation as we're trying to be, or powers that be are trying to disarm us, and at the same time, we're from the news. We're getting ready to step into a conflict with North and South Korea. China's on the border. There's a constant battle on our border with Mexico. No one wants to talk about. Our largest export to Mexico to date is young females. They're being kidnapped and smuggled across the border. No one talks about it. But at the same time, we're not allowed to protect ourselves. So what are your thoughts? I'm going to refer to you. I'm not sure how calls come across, or do I just keep going until told otherwise?
Well, I guess we can take calls at any time.
Okay.
But until we get, oh, we have Wild Bill, of course.
Wild Bill, call it in.
Wild Bill.
Man, I didn't know that was going to come back to bite me. Appreciate you being on here, brother. I appreciate some of the things that you're bringing up because I don't believe that as people of faith we should stick our head in the sand. But also, I think sometimes we take a wrong perspective on this, and I'd like for you to share your thoughts on that. The things that are going on in the world, the things where our country seems to be going away from what our founding fathers established as to what we were, and also the dangers of what's happening here. We're losing control of our own country, whether we realize it or not. But as a person of faith, what emotions should we be feeling on this, and what actions should the church be taking on these things that are going on?
Well, first off, as a man, as a human, you know, I am a Christian, and I am spirit-filled and follow after the Word, but I am also very human. And God created us that way. You know, the Constitution, the Supreme Court in 2010 stated that the Second Amendment did not give us or create a new right for ownership of guns, but it was reestablishing or stating a prior right based on the fact that you're a human. You're an American citizen. You have a right to protect yourself. And that was in the case with the District of Columbia against Heller. And that was actually, that was 2008. I said 2010. 2010, they re-upheld that and said that it not only applied to the federal government, but it was for the state government. And we're selling that down the road in under the guise of protecting children, protecting, you know, the minority who are have been duped into fearing gun. But we have a right to protect ourselves not only against crime in our neighborhoods, but from an overbearing government. And that was the main premise of that. Sandy Hook was a tragedy, terrible tragedy. And we mourn the death of any child. And no gun law passed would have stopped that, because it was not a legal gun owner who committed the crime. It was not his gun. It wasn't registered to him. He used someone else's gun. The criminal is always going to get the firearm. But moving on, anybody wants to continue that conversation, we can do so. You got North Korea, South Korea gearing up. You've got China on the border of the Korean Peninsula. You've got Hezbollah and Israel. You know, tensions soaring there. You've got Russia in the mix. You've got Iran and Iraq and the whole Middle Eastern area in an uproar. Egypt, Syria. Everybody's in a hyper state of vigilance right now, and it can be daunting. But the one thing I do want to throw out there is God is God, and he's in control. And you can't, none of this surprises him. No headline comes out that surprises God. And as a child of faith, as a believer, we have to stay attuned to the things of the Spirit and not allow some of the turmoil to distract us. Because at the end of the day, my goal on earth is to be ready for his return, to spread the gospel to as many that will hear, and to lead my family in all truth. And that's regardless of what the North Koreans, South Koreans, or anybody else is wanting to do. I lose Wild Bill?
Oh, no, he's out there.
He's out
Wild
there?
Bill?
I'm not responsible, Wild Bill.
Okay, I agree with you 100% on the fact that, you know, if you just look at it without God, it all looks bad.
Absolutely.
When you put God in the mix and you realize that he says kings on thrones and he says kings down, he establishes kingdoms, and this world is just a place we're passing through. This is not our permanent home. You know, we're going to go to be with him. You can change your perspective. But one of the things that really stirs me is that we can talk about how bad things are, that we get to a point of almost having hatred against some of our politicians and against some of the leaders in our states and our court system. But, you know, that's what God told us to do. He told us to pray for our leaders. You know, if things are bad, you know, we look for everybody else what they're supposed to do, but the church has a role to play in all this. And I think we've kind of discussed this before, but I think the church is kind of missing the boat on what we're supposed to be doing. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, being prior military, Air Force, served under two different presidents. You don't always agree with the policy or the person in the office. And I think that can be all the way from president to, you know, Bill, as much as you love Starla, you guys don't always agree. And you've got two different personalities. And you know, our politicians are in office and they are elected, they are in office, and we've put them there. It does not do any good to put someone in office and then to sit there and complain and badmouth. You know, there are some things that they will do that we agree with, and there are other things that we won't agree with. No one is going to be 100%. Our Word of God that we have patterned our life after tells us to pray for those in authority over us. And that goes, again, from president all the way down. I can pray for people that I disagree with. That's the love of Christ. And so I totally agree with you that, you know, sometimes we get stuck on what we disagree with and want to focus on that instead of how can we improve from my level, you know, my world, my zone of influence, if you will. How can I improve what is better around me to better improve the greater? And that's where the individual call is. Call it grassroots, call it local community, call it your church, but your sphere of influence is where a person needs to be involved daily, have a voice, not a bantering argument, but have a voice of conversation, of positive change. And you do that through prayer and through walking, the way you talk. And, you know, it's easy to say something. It's a whole different thing to say it and prove it in your life.
Do you believe there's a hidden agenda behind what we see in our political structure in this world today?
Hidden agenda. Well, I honestly, man, that could go so many different ways, Bill. I believe wholeheartedly that a lot of what is spoon-fed us in media is simply that. Just enough information to keep us busy and kind of debating the issues, if you will. We lose sight on the bigger picture. I think there is a... I think both parties, we're a two-party system. Until someone comes up with a better solution or a better voiced opinion in a party, it will stay a two-party system. A third party simply just mucks up the works. I wish it would work, but it doesn't. It hasn't yet. We can stay hopeful. I think both parties are headed the same direction, just going about it in a different way, in my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, the other day I just had a feeling, you know, I know a lot of people, of course, our pastor used to wrestle, but it reminds me of professional wrestling. You know, for a while I get to win, for a while you get to win, but the whole thing is it's all this big entertainment thing. But behind the scenes, what we're not seeing is this machine that seems to be pushing things into an established direction, no matter which party it is that's winning at the time.
Well, and that's what I mean. They're both headed the same direction. They're just one's doing it from the left-handed approach, and the other one's doing it from a right-handed approach. But ultimately, I mean, it was a Republican president who first started pushing for the one world or the United Nation approach, and that terminology. And then you get a Democrat in there, and he furthers that agenda, and he's the one demonized. So I think they all have an agenda. You know, you can use gun control since it's a hot topic right now as an example. I'm not a terribly educated man. I know I'm working on my master's, and I read, and I try to stay current, but I'm not highly intelligent. I'm just an average Joe. It's obvious to me that if you've got criminals breaking the law, and I don't care if it's guns, robbery, or if you're talking stop signs, okay? If a person's breaking the law, another law is not going to stop them from breaking that law or the new one. All you're doing is restricting those who are already abiding by the law. So you have all of these men in Washington wanting to pass new laws to confound the law-abiding and touting it as a super agenda to protect the masses. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make logical sense. They're using a red herring approach to an argument that's circular. I don't care if you pass 5 million more laws. All you're doing is restricting those who want to protect themselves. A criminal is still going to be a criminal. He's still going to break the new 5 million laws, obtain an illegal gun, and use it. And what I find amazing is no one wants to look at the statistics. And I'm just using that as an example of the hypocrisy in the agenda. It just has no merit. And it's like there's a whole bunch of people, non-thinkers, and in order to be that blatantly blind to facts and truth, you almost have to be intentional. So that's the only conclusion you can come to. It is on purpose.
I'm glad you mentioned the thing with the guns, because some of the things they're talking about changing, you know, all of a sudden they're going to make it illegal to have a gun with a 15-round clip. Well, when I was in law enforcement, just about every 9mm that was made and what most police officers were carrying had a 15-round clip or 14-round where you could put one in a mag. And I don't understand how that's going to change anything from somebody walking into a movie theater or a schoolhouse with 9 or 10 weapons. I mean, you can and shoot people. You know, evil is going to exist no matter what. They're not really trying to fix these problems because, like you said, it didn't take brain science to figure out or be a brain scientist or I don't know, astrophysicist or whatever, to figure out there's ways to stop these things. We, in our money right now, there's a little something in there, I don't know what it is, they can put it in paper, though, that law enforcement has scanners. When you see those SUVs sitting outside of big towns on major interstates, that thing is picking up. If you have a large quantity of money in there, it picks it up because there's so many of those strips. And that's why a lot of those cars you see getting stopped are getting stopped. They could do the same thing with a shell or ammunition at almost no cost whatsoever. So it don't matter what kind of gun you got. We could put sensors up around our schools. We could put them up around our auditoriums. We could put them up in major shopping malls, public places. Almost no cost at all than all this money we're spending on regulation. And all it does is help the gun manufacturers because all of a sudden everybody's got to get rid of their 15-round clip to go get a gun that's going to have a 5-round clip in it, like that's really going to solve anything. It's just no one is really wanting to fix things is what it looks like. It's like what you're saying. It's just trying to get people to look at it like they're putting a Band-Aid on something.
Well, there's an agenda, and the agenda is to disarm the American people, not to protect, like they're using. They're using it as a scapegoat. It's a red, like I said, a red herring argument. School safety is another one. You know, you've got 3 school districts in Texas. The Harold district in Texas, Harold County, I think it's county or city. I'm not sure which one that is, but they have had since the Virginia Tech massacre, allow teachers on a voluntary basis to go through trained tactical police training, same as they use for their marshals or their state troopers, and they obtain, their concealed carry, totally volunteer, totally trained. No one knows what teacher is carrying. It's totally anonymous. So, you know, it's not like it's publicized what teacher's carrying, what teacher's not. And it is never visible in school. You don't see it. But they have had 0 incidents. Well, why? because now the criminal knows I've got a 50-50 chance that every teacher I come in contact with, when I walk through that door, carrying a gun, is going to be armed, and I will not have the ability to shoot. Why is that? Why is there such a knee-jerk reaction to a solution like that? You know, the NRA came out talking about arming staffers, and, you know, there was just this uproar of that's insidious. I don't want guns near my kids. Wait a minute, we got SRO officers in Tennessee. They're armed. Well, that's a police officer. Well, we're talking about training them. If we don't trust the teachers for the safety of our children, why are we sending them to the school? The teachers don't have to carry them. They would have the option to carry them. And there is no state provision that says they can't. I got a question for those that would be against that. Let me put up a sign in your front yard that says gun-free zone. Or in your neighbor's yard pointing at your house, gun-free zone. Are you going to feel safer? But that's what we do at our schools. Hey, there's no guns here. Come in here. Hurt us here. There's no gun. And if they're willing to do that, just like the movie theater won't allow someone to carry a gun in to protect themselves, well, aren't they arbitrarily taking that responsibility on themselves to protect you? Then they should be liable. It's your job at that point. If you're not going to let me protect myself in a public place, then it's your job to do it. And if something happens, you are 100% liable because you absorbed that responsibility by not letting others do it. I mean, it's just common sense stuff, but no one wants to talk it. No one wants to take it down that road. And I don't think it makes you any less Christian or any less God-loving to want to protect yourself.
It's kind of sad that, you know, the day and time we live in, that we have to admit we have more violent crime in this country than any other country. We have more gun shootings, gun deaths than any other nation. And so the practical part of that, I can understand why they say, you know, we got to do something to regulate guns. But on the other part of that, we live in a time, and I'll be the first to admit it, I'm worried about where our politicians are taking us as to who's going to be running this country. And, well, we just saw in the news not long ago where, I can't remember where it was, they came in and took everybody's money out of their banking accounts to cover the debt of the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, wow. Yeah. So, you know, if they can do something like that, but what's giving them getting your groceries or come taking your beds or taking your children or, you know, whatever. We're living in some serious times, but I think it is because a lot of it, and there again, there's a spirit of the world, and I think that we have the spirit of God, and these things are that we're coming to an end of time. A lot of people aren't talking about end time, but it can't get much worse from just things I've seen in my time where we no longer have separation of church and state. We're trying to have separation from church that, you know, people want to have something to protect themselves in case our government just goes totally just wacko, that they can protect what they have. And the government, I think, sees this coming and doesn't want people to be able to do that. Of course, both you and I served in the military, and we both know that a civilian against some sort of military armed force, it wouldn't be fair at all. You know, it just, it'd be more of a short-term ride than it would of us being able to really protect ourselves. And I think sometimes safety is an illusion in this country. We don't realize until we look at things like Katrina. You know, it's really want to judge the people that didn't leave, judge the situation, what our politicians did. But people lost their lives, and the news people got in there and was talking to these people, and the help wasn't getting to them. You know, what does that say? The inquiring minds needed to know more than we needed to get help to people. You know,
right.
We've lost our balance on how we're looking at things. And I think it's like Pandora's box. Once you open it, you don't put it back in. I don't think there's any way we can rationalize. I mean, maybe you might have an answer, but I can't figure a way to rationalize things back to being what we call normal, where kids went to school and felt safe, where even with a teacher being armed, I worked with a law enforcement officer in Arkansas. He was one of the he was a top 10 marksman in the United States among police officers. And he happened to come across an area where a crime was taking place. He was a supervisor, didn't work in the field, but he just happened to be going through an area where there had been an armed robbery. The people had taken off, their car was crashed, running across the field, and they were in the area where he was. He fired six shots with a .357 Magnum with people shooting back at him. He hit one of them in the shoulder and hit one of them in the butt and missed the other four shots. And this is a top-rated marksman-trained police officer. So is one thing, that it may be a deterrent, teachers having guns in schools, but, you know, I've been with people deer hunting, and I get that excitement when a buck comes walking out of the trees, and I think their first three shots, they're shooting in the sky. They hadn't even got the barrel down to even sight on the deer yet. And so I don't think there's any degree of training. The deterrent, I agree with you, that it, when people realize that, I don't think these people are rational. I mean, for a child to walk into a school to want to kill his classmates and teachers, I mean, I think logic has kind of left the building.
Well, I agree with that. There's no, I mean, until you're put in that situation and you've got to point and pull the trigger, no one knows how they're going to respond. But it's exactly that. It's a deterrent. If you've got 25 teachers in the school and you've got a 50-50 chance that you've got at least 12 sidearms in there somewhere, at least half, it's going to make them think twice. And that's what you hope stops them. I'm not saying it's an end-all. It's not an end-all, but it's a better step. You know, out of the gun crimes in the United States, 1% of all those gun crimes are committed with a legally obtained and licensed gun. 1%. That's like nothing. So you can regulate all you want. It's happening within the streets and the black market and the illegal guns. That tells me we've got a crime issue, not a gun issue. If I had a visual aid that I could air across blog talk, sorry, got choked up there, I would do the rest of this show with my loaded pistol pointing at me the entire time just to prove a gun doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Idiots kill. People kill. And, you know, the gun is nothing but a tool. You know, I can take someone out with a screwdriver. Are we going to ban screwdrivers now? I mean, where's the craziness stop? And when are we going to get to the point of what the issue is? And that is a decaying society. That's the issue. And you know, to answer your question, are we going to go back to a sense of normal? No, I just don't think we are. The Bible talks about in the last days, men will wax worse and worse. Evil will be called good, and good will be called evil, and that's what we're seeing. No personal responsibility for anything. No one stands up and says, you know what, I was wrong, but I see the error of my ways. I'm going to change my direction right now. That was the wrong move. No one wants to do that. Everyone wants to blame someone else. And it's going to continue to go down that path.
That's so true. I don't be the one to manipulate all the conversation here between you and the people out here on the blog show. So, Scarlett, for somebody else that may have a question or a comment for Brother Driggs, and just go ahead and put them on.
Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything you wanted to say or ask?
Well, you know I do. Yeah, thank you, Sister Starla, and your guest is very articulate. And, of course, my Blog Talk son is the best.
Oh, you're just biased.
I am. This particular subject, I do have some very deep thoughts about. But I think I've voiced them so many times in the past week, I don't want to take a lot of time away from your guest and Wild Bill, because you're saying some things that I hear all around me, and people are discussing this on every level. There's confusion, there's fear, there's anxiety, apprehension, misunderstanding. And so it needs to be discussed with the right spirit, and a right attitude, and a spiritual attitude. So I will just back off and let you two say whatever you, what the Lord is leading you to say.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to say also, it's really less about the issue of the gun itself for me than it is a moving away of what our founding fathers wrote as a document of our heritage, basically. You know, the Constitution is what we are founded on. We were founded as a godly nation, and we're losing that. You know, a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed is strong language. You know, you tax it to where I can't afford it, you're infringing my right. And my fear is, and it's a godly fear, I'm not afraid of man. They all they can do is threaten me with heaven. You know, if they come in and take me and whatever, you know, they're just going to send me home early. But my worldly fear is that if they can do it with the Second Amendment, what's next? And we're seeing in religion, we're seeing the freedom of worship. You know, if you want to go into a school and worship, all you got to do is be Muslim. And I'm not picking on the Muslims. I'm just saying that's the way we're headed. If you're a Christian and you want to take the Bible to school, you want to be sent home. If you've got a Bible app on your iPhone, your phone's being taken. But yet we're making prayer rooms for other religions. And it is an obvious move away from our Christian heritage, which is the greater concern in my mind.
I think that's really good, Brother Drew. You know, I still think that somehow or another, as people of faith, we get so locked into, like Locked On Mom said, our fears, our frustrations, our angers, looking who to blame, that we still miss the boat on what power we have as a group. The government can come in and they can establish laws to say that, you know, if we're going to be considered criminals if we don't marry people of the same sex, you know, they can establish laws to where if they wanted to, where we can't come together and meet to worship, learn of God, praise. They can take prayer out of school. There's a lot of things they can do, but they can't take God out of our lives if we don't do it. You know, we have free will. We can step away from the things of God if we want to, but I think if we try to look at some of these things in a spiritual way, a spiritual vision, so to speak, instead of looking at what we see, you know, the Bible talks about when we see the things coming towards the end of time that, you know, we should lift up our heads for our redemption draws nigh, not hide and get all this hate message against our politicians and want to point fingers and it's your fault, and you know, you should do something about this. And we definitely are not supposed to have a spirit of fear. So,
correct.
There's got to be a way and I know how easy it is to develop habits, and you could probably do a whole show talking about the power of habits. I've been reading or listening to an audio book on that. I've been blown away about what science has documented about the power of habit. But I think our church has gotten into, now, I'm not talking about Indian, I'm not talking about the Christians as a whole. We have gotten into some habits that takes God out of the equation and puts the church trying to use our own social power to deal with things. And I don't know what the answer is. And maybe it's just, maybe I'm just looking at it, maybe I'm just getting old and I'm kind of a little bit of a curmudgeon here and it's not that way at all. But I mean, is it just me? Am I seeing it this way and being wrong? Or what do you see with this?
I don't think it's a right or wrong. I think it's a perception or you know, at least your opinion. We can get caught up in rhetoric, and we can get caught up in, you know, like you have voiced it before, a soundbite mentality where, you know, we're hitting the bullet points, but we're not looking at the deeper issues. All in all, at the end of the day, again, God is God. I'm not. and he is in control, and he knows the beginning to the end. And no matter what they throw our way and what society decides we're going to do and move towards, the worse it gets, the greater the opportunity to reach the people with the truth. No, I don't like gun control. No, I don't like infringing upon my rights. No, I don't like same-sex marriage. No, I don't accept abortion as normal. I don't buy into these moral truths that they're wanting to pass because they are immoral, in my opinion, and according to the Word of God. But the more that they do that, the more extensive that gets in their reach, is the wider the field of opportunity to bring people into God's love and into the truth that he has for them. And that is that this is temporary. And at some point, he'll rectify it all. And then they'll know every knee will bow at that point. So I agree with you that we can subvert the or forget the spiritual side of it. And that's easy to do, to get caught up in the rhetoric of the day.
You made a comment in Sunday school about your definition of what you see a church, what it should be to the world. Would you mind sharing that with everybody here?
As far as the hospital, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think at some point we have gotten a hold of a social club mentality through the years. Church should be representative of all people, and it's going to be a wide array of socioeconomic classes. It's going to be a wide array of races. It's going to be a wide array of just a huge example of opinions and heritages. The church should be representative of basically God's people. At all, everybody. It shouldn't look cookie cutter, because there should be people in all different maturity levels of their walk with Christ. It shouldn't be a social club with strict borders. And again, I'm not talking biblical standards. I'm not talking, you know, God's definition of sin. That's not what I mean. I'm talking maturity levels. If there are not people in the church that are offensive by smell, offensive by moral standing, a little bit offensive by maybe just their whole demeanor, then we're not reaching the ones that need us the most. We're coming to church to see our buddies. If we're not, as a church, and again, I'm not talking the sanctuary, I'm talking the church as a whole. If we're not significant to our community, if you can go to the bank and say the name of your church and they don't know who you are, then you're not living up to God's call. If they don't know who you are, you're not reaching their life. You're insignificant to them. So what are you there for? But, you know, the Bible tells me, Christ said, you fed me when you fed them. You clothed me when you clothed them. You visited me when you visited them. Christ ministered to the individual's need first. Then after he ministered to their immediate need and stabilized their life in their crisis, then he talked about, oh, by the way, I'm life eternal. Drink from my well, and you can have eternal life. We need to meet people where they live. If they're hurting because of a split family, if they're hurting because of abuse, if they're hurting because they can't pay their bills or they can't eat or their children are starving, or if the child's being abused, that's what needs to be attended to first. And then, through that process, you can reach them because you just shown the love of Christ through your actions. Now they're willing to listen. I'll use an example, and I won't drop names you know I'm terrible about not dropping names because I tried to do that in Sunday school. I was going to run a service call today, and I called the tenant of the rental property and was setting up a good time for today or tomorrow to run this service call on heating or cooling. I do that as my bill payer or bill paying methods. And in the process of 15 seconds of the tenant answering the phone and me trying to, hey, how's your day? Wanted to come by and check that out, that unit out for you. She proceeded to come unglued and just started bawling. Had lost an aunt. Uncle was just taken to the hospital and that half an hour before I called, and husband had walked out on her 2 weeks prior. So here's a young woman with two small children, can't afford the house she's in, can't afford to pay the service call, doesn't have heat. How receptive is she going to be to the plan of salvation if I walk in the home and try to do a Bible study with her right now? She's unstable. Her needs have to be administered to first. She's in crisis. She can want to go to heaven all day long, but she is not in a frame of mind to receive it. Just like the woman that was drugged before Jesus and wanted to be, they wanted to stone her because she was caught in adultery. At the moment they were all encircling her with the stones and ready to die, how receptive would she have been to, by the way, you need to repent and be baptized? She would. She's in fear for her life. What do you mean, repent and be baptized? I'm getting ready to die. Christ defused the situation first, removed her accusers. Then he spoke to her about life eternal. And that's just the principle I think we need to operate on. You can look at his whole ministry, and that's how he approached it. Did I hit the nail on the head, or are you after something else?
That's probably one of the deepest things that's ever been said, the way you said it on this show since we've had the show. You hit it out of the park. It was excellent. Block Talk Moments, do you have something? No, you shared that in Sunday school, and it really speaks to my heart to let us know, you know, we do have a calling. And I think, like you said, we get caught up in the rhetoric of things, and we live in a real world, you know. But so do the rest of the people, you know. You can't just fix everything with Acts 2:38. You know, it's just not going to work. I'm sure Blog Talk Mom had something she wanted to come in there with that, or someone else did, Starla. I know we're getting close to the end of the show.
Blog Talk Mom?
Well, I've enjoyed it. It's been very thought-provoking, and I would love to just sit down and talk to Brother Drew forever on these subjects or hear him teach. It's very, very good. Personally, as I was listening to it, my mind was going to my own influence in my own life with those around me. And I can't do that if I don't spend time with God. If I do that, I'm politicking. You know, that's what the world does, and I want to make sure. And I didn't know that at the very beginning of my walk with God, but as I learned that if I would spend time with God myself, the secret place of the Most High God, and let His wings cover me, you know, till I could feel that peace that passes all understanding, till I could understand that I had an appointment with someone every day by phone, like you were speaking about, Brother Drew, and then it just happens. But if I go out, and I believe in knocking on doors. That's how I came to the Lord. A lady came and knocked on my door, and before she left, I was delivered from cigarettes and had a great, great move of God in my life. But what you were talking about, Brother Drew, and what while Bill and we're agreeing on, is that just let that influence be the love of God, not our doctrine, not our standard, but the love of God, and then we're the salt of the earth and the light that can't be hid. That's very good. Thank you, Wild Bill.
Yeah, I am a firm believer that if we walk it, if we walk what we believe daily, if we look at how many people we come in contact on a daily basis at the grocery store, gas station, Starbucks, McDonald's, everywhere we go, if we walk and exhibit the love of Christ, it will give us the opportunity to go further in that relationship with that individual. And at the point that they accept Christ and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, they begin the process of that righteous living and relationship, and they mature. And at that point, they can go out and live it for the people in their sphere of influence. I know we're getting close, and I wanted to read this real quick. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of first his kingdom and the righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We got to live in the day, live it unto God, and to our fullest ability. And every person we come in contact with is a potential call. Go ahead, Bill.
And I wasn't sure I was still on. I appreciate everything you brought for us tonight, and I just kind of wanted to break the ice a little bit. People don't have a clue how hard it is to get on a telephone and have something prepared if you've never done it before and not knowing who's listening. You feel like you're all by yourself. It's not like when you're in front of a class or in a church of people or something like that. It's really hard, so I really appreciate you doing this, but I would love for you to have some of your lessons that you have or maybe a sermon and come back and be with us again because I think, well, I know for a fact people need to hear a different voice, but I also know that God puts different messages in people's hearts in a different way than he does. You can take one scripture and give it to 10 preachers and tell them to preach on it, and you can get 10 different sermons. But sometimes,
yes,
I don't know, it seems to click. Especially between me and you, it's almost dangerous, but I really, you speak into my heart a lot of things that you say in a way that a lot of people don't in this day and time. A lot of people can speak to my mind, but you have a way of speaking, and like I told you before, I think it's because of how real you are. I think your life experience, which I really appreciate you feeling that you could open up and share that, because we are who we are, you know, whether we're, you know, I didn't start off very well, you know, but I'm thankful God didn't leave me there where he found me. But I would like to have you come back and be with us again and to share some things. And then Brother Drake's wife is also a counselor, and we may do a show where we just kind of talk about the makeup of a person's mind, the thought process, and you know, to make people aware. You just did a thing on prayer for us as far as working the altars in our Sunday school. And it was so powerful because you went at it from a direction that I had never heard before by using the counseling aspect as to people. You know, we're dealing with people. We're not dealing with numbers. It's not a class of people. It's people with issues and problems. And we have to be, like you said, a hospital, you know, to go in and deal with these problems. But I just want to thank you so much.
You're welcome. And to answer the coming back, well, I'd love to. I accept that. I'm preaching Sunday, so if you can figure out a way to record me, you could always air a recording.
It's not quite the same as being live. I want to make you come back on here so people can ask questions and comments and things I can bring back. So, but anytime you want, if you got a website that you want to share or anything like that, anything that you have like an email address, that's always perfectly fine to do that. I don't know what kind of response you get. You may find that your mailbox is full. After some shows, I don't get any responses. Some shows, I have hundreds of responses. So
I'll throw my email address out there again. It's
okay.
c.driggs. So that's c.driggs @me.com. So you can email me any questions, anything you have, any concerns, anything you agreed with or disagreed with. Keep it clean. If it ain't clean, I'm going to delete it.
That's good. Starla, did you have anything? We kind of just ran over you tonight. Did you have any comments or questions for Brother Drake?
No, I really enjoyed what he had to say. It was very informative.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, Brother Drake, do you want to end this show in prayer tonight? Do you mind doing that?
Not at all. Not at all. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. We appreciate the time together, the time to talk about current events, the time to talk about our hearts and the heartbeat of you in our lives, how we can be better Christians and better followers of Christ, how we can better serve you, be a light unto our paths, guide our steps, be with us each and every day. Everybody out there in Blog Talk, listeners, touch them, encourage them, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Also, Starla, will you go ahead and announce about the boot camp that's coming up, the dates on that and everything?
It's a Matt Maddox boot camp in Nolensville, Tennessee, on April 19th, 20th, and the 21st in Nolensville, Tennessee.
Yeah, and the sanctuary has a the sanctuary in Nolensville has a Facebook page. You can go to that. There's links to actually go. Registration is free. I think people are going to be able to learn some things here that they're going to be able to take back to their churches in their own communities to use. I think it's going to get people to stretch out in areas that they never have before in faith and as far as being vessels to be used for the ministry. And so I want to encourage each and every person that can to come and be a part of this. If nothing else, we're going to have a great time of fellowship hearing the Word of God and learning some skills. So, again, I want to thank you, Brother Driggs, for being here with us. We'll be back next week, and I don't know, I may have Brother Driggs. He may be back up here next week sharing his Sunday message with you here on Blog Talk Radio then. So, good night, everybody. We'll see you back next week.
Good night, everybody. Appreciate the time. Thank you.